Well, hello there.
Hey, hey, hey.
You're here with the Gillettes.
I'm Matt, and this is my lovely wife, Nicole.
We're so honored and excited to share this time with you. This is the Raising Wonder podcast, and in it we'll be exploring all things family and kid-related regarding how to raise children to see themselves and the world around them as wonders to behold.
Let's be honest. Raising kids is hard, and we believe that raising wonder makes it beautiful too.
And wonder is multiplied in community. So let's get talking about today's topic.
Let's go.
Would you like to lead this convo, Matt?
You're good.
Well, welcome back. We have been gone for quite a minute there, and we have a really special guest today that we are very much looking forward to talking with and so grateful that you're here. So let's welcome you, Jackie Roberson. Hi.
Hey, hey, what's happening? How you doing?
Good. Thank you
for having me. I mean, you guys are one of the two best people in Meville, so I appreciate you.
Oh, my goodness.
I really do.
That is very kind.
I know, it's really serious, true. I mean, y'all
not
are cool
true and
people.
Very kind.
Y'all are really cool people. I enjoy. I'm so glad that we're across the street from one another.
Oh yeah.
Even though we don't see a whole lot of each other, you know, we just moving past them. But it's still good to at least know that we got good neighbors across the street.
It is. I definitely take a level of comfort in knowing if I need anything, I know you're right there. Sometimes we see you through the window too.
Dude, really?
We'll be like. Like, our kids will be like, there's Mr. Jackie. Let's go say hi. I'm like, no, close the window. Close it. We're not going to be shouting across Chestnut Street.
Yeah.
So my office was right in the front there at one point, and I moved it. Because man, it's so distracting.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you're not right. Oh, man, I feel a little less comfort now. I'm just kidding. There's so many people over there that are awesome. I'm just kidding. So Matt is also here.
Hey.
And so we haven't recorded in a little bit. If anybody listening has kind of consistently followed, we want to say hi and thank you. And we're back. We have some updates and some news. I'll get into towards the end of the episode. I have a couple things to share, which are really fun and exciting and new. But also just, we were saying before we hit record that like sometimes you just need to pause on stuff in life and figure out your capacity, figure out the direction, and I think that we've done that, so we're ready to be back.
You know, I realize, and I don't want to get religious, but Jesus, he withdrew for a while.
Yes.
A lot. And I think I don't do well with that, so I need to do more of that as far as just withdrawing for a minute.
Yeah.
Because it's something to it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that the other thing that's been I've been thinking a lot about is that even God rested after creating everything. So,
yeah. Very good.
Rest is very important.
It is very important.
It is. That's right. So you had very kind words to start, Jackie. And I was thinking the same about you, that like anyone who is listening who knows you is already probably like, yes, we get to hear from him because he's incredible. And you're also just so kind in that you are... It feels almost like you're all over the place all the time, loving and helping everyone. Mm-hmm. And I love that you actually mentioned rest because that's so good. Because like for you to be able to have that balance is just incredible, like how you do all the things you do. And so it means a lot that you're here sitting and chatting with us. And we just always feel like we know we can ask you and call on you. Yeah. Like I said, you're right across the street too. And so it means a lot. And you're just a wealth of knowledge and a very, very kind invested person in our community, so I can't wait to get to share your thoughts with people today.
Too kind. I'll give you a check later.
But yeah, if anyone is here in this episode listening and isn't quite familiar with the FCCA, do you want to share a little bit about what you do there?
Sure. So FCCA is known as the Family, Children, and Community Association. I've been there for going on about between 4 and 5 years now. Mm. And basically, you know, we do a little bit of everything from pre-K counts. We have 11 different classrooms all throughout Crawford County. We have a developing greatness program, which focuses in on youth between the ages of 12 and 24, just showing them life skills and how to be better people in our society. We have a family navigation program, which we partner with on CHAPS, and that's through the Pittsburgh University grant, and just able to really help a lot of families out through that. Identigo, we do fingerprinting, community meals, we do basketball, community baby showers, which you guys were involved in. We try to just do the best we can to give back to the community, and that's what it's all about. It's just how could we do our part, and we're a small part of what this community has. I'm grateful for Wonder and all of the things that's just coming and what you already have done. I'm really excited about you guys being in our neck of the woods and making your impact, and I just see nothing but greatness getting ready to happen here. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited for you guys.
Well, we want to extend our gratitude to you too, because you're on our board.
Thank you. Yes, indeed.
Yes, Jackie is a beloved member of Raising Wonders board, and we just thank you for having me. Yeah, of course, you're the last board member interview too. Wow. That we get to do. So that, I mean, for now, until I guess maybe some other maybe new people in the future, but it's fun to get to just talk to you from that aspect too, of what you the perspective that you bring to the work that we're doing here as well. And it's incredible, the FCCA, what you all do over there too. So mm-hmm. all those things that you're working towards, it's like, it's happening every day. It's really awesome to see across the street through the windows, all the people that are being served and joining together over across the way. And
it blows my mind at times too. I mean, I forgot a few things, I'm sure, that we do, like the shelter area, Meadville, and all of that stuff. Like, I'm a very religious, I won't say religious, but I have a relationship with God, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And, I realize, I can't do none of this in my own power and strength. Mm-hmm. And so what you see every day is God working through me. Mm-hmm. And I'm humbled and honored to be able to be a vessel for Him, because, I was just telling Matt this, every day I think about our mortality and, we're not promised tomorrow. No. When you're born into the world, you're given a date, you're given a dash, mm-hmm. and then you're given an end date, right? And so, that important thing is what you do with that dash. Mm-hmm. And, that's the thing that we're all striving to work on every day is, how are we dealing with our dads, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's inevitable that we have to see our maker one day. But, I just want to be able to hear those words, well done. And, that's what it's all about for me. So I'm not sure how long I'll be here. Nobody knows how long they'll be here. But one thing I do know is that I do want to hear that, I try to do a good job with that dash.
You're making a big impact.
Oh, thank you.
Is that a saying that I'm just unaware of, or did you come up with that?
I don't know. Maybe
I like that. That's really good.
That was kind of like on the fly.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Might be a new tattoo.
Hey, there you go.
Title of a book.
T-shirt.
Yeah.
How you dealing with the dash?
Yes. That's good.
Really good. I think that is just exactly what this conversation is going to actually touch on, because when we're around kids, and it sounds like you clearly are involved in the lives of kids in a lot of different ways, not only just directly with kids, but also a lot of adults who are mm-hmm. in the lives of kids.
Families, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, so we wanted to talk about connecting with kids. That's a huge part of our mission, and also correction, mm-hmm. because that has come up a ton lately. So for those who might be wondering, okay, when is your space opening? That is a question that we get a lot. Our update is it's very close. I know that that's probably not the exact specific answer some people might be hoping for. It's not the one I want to give either. I wish I had a specific date, but we are really getting close. Definitely stay tuned for some updates with on social media, not only just from us, but maybe from some other organizations too. We have some really cool new developments to share, but we are getting close. But I say that to say that, like, in the in between, have been doing a lot of other things through Raising Wonder, specifically around trainings for adults who work with kids. So whether it's parent coaching or like in educational settings. And so I just have been loving that we've gotten to do that. And this is a big topic that comes up a lot. Like, okay, great. It's lovely to connect with kids, but how do you connect when they need to be corrected? Mm-hmm. Like, can you even do that? Should you be connecting with them first? Or should they just, like, what's the role of consequences and punishment? And how do you get in with those really tough behaviors? And so I think it's going to be a good conversation around that topic right now, especially with the two of you. So right off the top, what are your thoughts on maybe like your favorite way to connect with kids, whether it's your own kids or just maybe another idea is coming to your mind, but what are the two you think? How do you connect well with kids in your lives?
I'm a hands-on person, and so I have to be doing something with my hands, and our children, I believe, are also very hands-on and very active. And so, emphasis on the active part. And so, I believe that one way that I really like to connect with the kids is by doing some type of physical activity, mm-hmm. you know. Since we, you know, have our own houses and projects that we work on, one thing that Nico and Alanis, but in particular Nico, really likes to do, and we were talking about it at dinner tonight, is he likes to go to work, and he likes to learn about what I'm doing, but then also feeling, and one of the things we talk about a lot is like being able to be trusted mm-hmm. with important things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and with that comes correction sometimes mm-hmm. when we don't use a tool correctly, or Absolutely. We don't. So we need to understand that there's safety, but there's also this connection piece that we're working together as a team to accomplish a goal.
Yeah.
And so, and then with Alanis, like, she likes to come to work sometimes too, but she more likes to, she actually likes to clean and do house activities and things too. So she likes to help know that she's being helpful, I mm-hmm. think, is one of the big things. And so if it's doing laundry, if it's loading the dishwasher, if it's sweeping, if it's cleaning something up, or just coming alongside and helping me for something that I'm trying to do, she gets a lot of joy out of feeling like she contributed and helped.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good stuff. Very good stuff. Mine is not as elaborate as his. I connect with my boys. I have a 16-year-old and a 5-year-old. So it's very different from both of them. My oldest is through a previous marriage, and unfortunately that didn't work out, but I do have full custody of him. And then my youngest is, through my wife. Currently, and so long story short, my oldest has been playing basketball along with my youngest since like three or four, and so like he's interesting on when it comes down to basketball, and that's how mm-hmm. we connect.
Yeah.
And so that's always been our thing, as far as like, you know, that's been my way of teaching him teamwork, all of the morality things, you mm-hmm. know, being honest with your coach and being able to communicate how you feel and mm-hmm. working hard and, you know, making sure that you're not lazy, mm-hmm. Being on time, which I'm horrible with, and all of those things. But you know, I've connected with him through that, and really, my youngest, same thing. Like the biggest thing that we do that we connect with is tickle time. So you know, he loves to be tickled. So he calls this hand Ring-a-Ding hand, and then he calls this hand Bishop for some reason. I don't know where he got that from. And so, like, he'd say, tickle me, Ring-a-Ding, and so I'll tickle him on that hand. And that's then funny. Bishop, you know, he'll say Bishop sometime and then tickle me. So that's how we connect.
Alanis loves tickles, too. She'll beg me, and she'll be crying because I'm tickling her so much. Yeah. I'll stop, and she's like, again.
So, it is interesting, really. But that's been how I connect. Believe it or not, car rides is my big thing. Like, you know, we communicate, well, we have to, because you know, he goes to school in Erie, and also my youngest, like, you know, it's just, I don't know, I have no other a whole lot of time because I'm always in the run. But car rides has been our biggest thing, how we connect and, you know, kind of, you know, talk. Sometimes I'm horrible with it because I'm on the phone. Oh, you know how it is. You guys both know how it is because I'm always on the phone doing business and, you know, while I'm in a commute. Mm-hmm. But I try to use that time as father-son time just to connect and, you know, get some information from him and him get some information from me. I'm scared. I'm going to tell you this. 17, 16, he's getting ready to be 17 in January. Mm-hmm. And I am so scared of what's to come because now he's getting ready to be a senior, like next year. Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at college. Mm-hmm. And like, he's still my baby boy. You know what I mean?
But that's a big change.
It is. Yeah. It is. So it's like, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you mentioned car rides.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually been thinking of starting a new series called Car Convos.
Interesting. Interesting. I love
Matt's
it.
Matt's face. He's like, oh my goodness.
Some deep stuff car that happens to car rides.
Let's talk about this real quick. Because car rides are not my favorite activity. I have been defined by my counselor as a highly sensitive person, and car rides, especially in your previous car, which was a tiny little hatchback.
Yeah, it was tight.
It was tight. It's a fun car to drive. It's a cool car to drive, but two kids in car seats, their feet dangling and kicking you in the back, and they're so close, it feels like they're breathing on your neck, especially when they start, their volume starts getting loud, was a challenge for me. But
it was an exciting day when we entered the minivan world. There's a lot of space.
Got that third row.
Yeah,
let's go.
It's great. Yeah. It is really great.
So you back on that? You got that going?
We got the van going again. Yeah.
But I agree with you because you can talk about a lot of things. I think because, and I guess it also depends on like the person, like you're saying for you in the adult sense, but also the kid. It depends on the kid, but like you can get a lot more depth in conversations for a couple reasons, I think. One, they cannot go anywhere else.
They're held captive.
Two, I think there's not as much to distract. Like there's not as many objects around you, probably, you know, depending on what's in your car. But also, somebody else mentioned car rides in one of our past interviews, Jenna, when she was talking about eye contact too, how some kids, they find it intimidating to maintain eye contact. Like, so like the way we're all sitting right now, we're facing each other. Some kids, even and adults too, they open up more when there's that safety of being like, okay, I'm not being directly looked at right now, and I can kind of open up.
It's interesting you say that because as you were talking, I was thinking of that, especially as a teenage boy, that like there might be some opportunity for some vulnerability when you're not sitting face to face like this. And it's like, you know, I can't necessarily, you know, I can turn and look at you, but it's only going to be quick. So there might be some transparency or vulnerability there. which is an interesting tactic that I was, as you were talking, I was thinking about specifically. So it's interesting you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That authoritative piece that comes. Yeah. It's daunting for kids, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And even I'll say this. I mean, me and my wife just took a trip to, you appreciate this, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Because
y'all from South Carolina, right? Well, not proper South Carolina, but y'all,
We lived
y'all
there for lived a long there. Time. Yeah, it carries a special part of our heart.
Gotcha. And we drove, what was it? I think it was about 8 hours.
Mm. We went to
North Carolina. Okay. I'm sorry, Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yes, but we drove. Because we didn't want to get caught in the whole airplane thing that's happening because of the federal government being shut down and blah, blah, blah. So we said, hey, man, let's just rent a car. Let's not put all the mileage on our car and let's drive. And really, it took our relationship to a whole nother level, I would say, because we're always on the go.
Yeah.
We're like two passing ships, but at the same time, like, when you're able to really spend time with each other, like, I really like my wife.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, you guys really like each other, right? Yeah. Like, I never see y'all, like, arguing or nothing like that. That's a beautiful thing. Like,
we definitely do, but that's good. Yeah.
But, we tell the summertime and the windows get
open. No, but, you know, like, really, you know, it's good to be able to, like, COVID, right, was a highlight of things
being home.
Man, and you had nowhere else to go, right?
Yeah. So that's like a good point.
It really highlighted a lot of relationships and what worked and what didn't work.
The very good and the very bad. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Now we've spent a lot of time in the car, especially when we lived here part time here and part time in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then going to New Jersey a lot. So you and I have spent a lot of time in the car.
How far is the ride from here to South Carolina?
The fastest we do is 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
Yeah. And with the kids, we would have to split it up. But when it was just the two of us, we could do it straight through for the most part. And when there's no little distractions, like, we would talk a lot. So, yeah, that's a lot of... Or listen to a podcast and pause it. What do you think about that? You know, we spent a lot of time connecting that way. So,
yeah.
So car ride is an interesting suggestion. It's not something I thought about.
Yeah. Love it. So there, I'm hearing some themes here. So around being productive maybe and working at something meaningful. So you mentioned actually like your work, your career, bringing kids along. And you mentioned basketball. And that's something that is like progressing towards a successful goal, things like that. I think that's awesome because communicating to kids that they are capable of things is huge in connecting with them. I also think how you mentioned the tickling, that is huge for kids too. Yeah. Like that connection, that touch piece. So again, just like everyone's different. Like some people like love that physical contact. Some people don't as much. But like when you know that your child enjoys that, that's so special to be able to share that with them. those are really great ways to connect with kids. So going from that, I want you don't need to share, but just can you picture a time, maybe more than one time, where there was a need for correction around a kid that you, you're already laughing.
Right.
So
never.
I'm in the right room, right? I think anybody I sit down with, I'd be in the right room. Like any adult has experienced this. And this is like the nitty gritty of now, like, what does this look like as adults? And how do we stay connected to our kids when there's correction that needs to be done? And so I want to dig deeper into that for a little bit. And the way that I want to do that is to...
Here we go.
Go off, and it doesn't need to be any specific time or story or child even, but going off of the ways that you enjoy connecting with kids, how can you see that be helpful when there is correction that needs to be happening? Because I think that's what a lot of parents can struggle with, including myself, and I think.
So are you asking for
practical ways that we can correct while we're connecting.
Yeah, as a helpful conversation, because this is the thing with correction. A lot of times we see an issue, there's misbehavior happening, and we want to jump right to the correction piece. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is needed and applicable when there's an immediate danger. So for example, like a child's not listening, they're about to run into the street. That is like, let's immediately jump right to that.
Yeah.
But studies show if there's not an immediate danger, it's way more effective for not only correcting the behavior and stopping the behavior, but changing it long term.
Mm-hmm.
When we have that deep connection with a child before, during, and after correction. And so I just want to, like, I guess, put some context to that, because it sounds like one of those things that we say, oh, when studies show this, but when you get down to talking about it with people, it's hard to, like, conceptually think of that. Like, what does that look like? So if you really enjoy working, and I guess I'll just on behalf of our family be okay with sharing some specifics. So you can jack however much you want to share. Yeah. But I'm thinking of, like, if you have the kids with you,
mm-hmm.
doing some sort of, you know.
I should let them electrocute work. Themselves.
exactly. So, like, how would you go through that? What does it look like for you to connect with them when they're not listening now, or they're having problematic behavior in that type of setting?
Well, I mean, one natural consequence is getting hurt safely, you know, like not hurt, but like maybe it's dirty or maybe it's wet or something like that. Like, that is one natural consequence of saying, you know, and usually there's a warning there. If you do this, this will probably happen, you know? Yeah. And then if they are in no immediate danger, like, you know, let's just say we don't let our kids play with live wires, you know? The electricity was a joke. It's not real.
Yes, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. But, like, you know, there's times that Nico loves water. He loves to play with water. And there's times that he wants to play with the hose. And there's a time when he's allowed to play with the hose, and there's times when he's not allowed to play with the hose.
Yeah.
And maybe we're doing a job. We're watering the plants, and it's not just, like, free-willy-nilly sprinkler time, you know? And so there's times that he'll, you know, he'll give instruction if he doesn't do that, and that's not just me yelling in order. It's, if this happens, if you do this and you make this choice, this is what will happen.
Yeah.
And then watch it happen, you know? And, like, there's been times that Nico's come home, you know, he comes to work with me, he comes home, and he's filthy or muddy or missing a shoe or missing a sock. I told him what was going to happen, and it happened.
How you lose a sock.
Or a shoe.
Yeah. Like, wow. It's happened many times, so, real examples.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, he might be wearing his favorite jacket. No, like, you're going to get that dirty. This happened today.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get that dirty if you jump in that dirt hole, because we're redoing a sewer line and it's a 3-foot deep hole. Like, it's not a safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe, but you're going to get filthy.
Yeah.
And those are your brand new clothes / your favorite jacket.
Yeah. You
know? He's told him to stay away from it. He didn't stay away from it. And he's not going to get hurt. It's not a deep hole, you know.
Yeah.
But he slipped, and he's covered in dirt. Mm. And so it's like, you know, you're probably not going to wear your jacket tomorrow. I told you, now it's got to get washed. And,
yeah,
you know, he's got favorite things. So I don't know. That's a long example.
No, that's good, though. That's good. You touched on natural consequences. So, like, that I'm thinking of with our daughter, too, the other day. Like, she wasn't listening, and she had her favorite stuffed animal outside. And, again, it was, like, a dirty, like, example, a dirty situation where it was, like, muddy-looking slush from our recent snow.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, winter. But, yeah, it was, and I said, you know, you probably... I try to ask questions a lot too. Like, what might happen with your stuffy?
Yeah.
You know, you're not listening right now. What might happen? I promise. Like, still ignoring what my direction was, walking away. And sure enough, she dropped it and she was upset. That was, like, in my mind, consequence enough. Like, now your stuffy's dirty and she's upset by that.
Mm-hmm.
That works well when they care. I would say, like, a pushback on maybe, like, what I could hear some caregivers saying would be like, well, what if they don't care that their jacket's dirty, but I care? Now I gotta wash
it.
Now it's my job.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like thinking through that. I think like I would probably respond to that with, well, then it could be, if it's not something they care about washing, have them hand wash the jacket,
something like that.
So a lot of times it's just like, I think we can be like, well, they don't care, or they're just going to respond this way. But if we think a bit, couple more steps into it and be creative with it, I think we can get at the heart of like what we want to teach our kids.
There's been a few issues, like incidents where, not issues, incidents where they've come to work with me, and Nico in particular, he really wants to do something or really wants to use a specific tool. And I'll give him guidelines. And if he doesn't meet those guidelines, then like we have real conversations about him being fired. Like, you know, like you will get fired and you won't be allowed to come anymore because you, one, didn't follow directions, or two, you're risking the safety of yourself and other people around you. And so like there is, it's not just like, oh, I'm frustrated and you can't come here anymore. It's like you have a consequence. You're going to lose work tomorrow, you know, and he's only six, you know, we pay him and like enough to buy candy, you know, but he's gonna miss out. So one of the things is his school has like Snack Shack, and they can buy money, they can buy snacks at school on Friday. And so if he don't work, he doesn't have money to buy snacks. And so if he makes a poor choice where then he misses out on work, then it has that consequence of the thing he really wants, which is money for Snack Shack.
That's good.
So
it's teaching great discipline too, right? I mean, like, I've seen the balance that Matt has. Like, Matt is very compassionate. I was just saying this to him. He's very compassionate, but also at the same time, he knows how to draw a line when there's a boundary needed. And that's a great balance, you know, especially as being a dad and being an entrepreneur and a, you know, business owner, you definitely have to have that balance, you know.
I appreciate that, because that's not something that was a strong suit of mine long, you know, especially starting the business early. I did it a lot with, like, you know, trying to help people and hiring people who may or may not have had the experience and were in a tough spot. And then they would do something, and I'd be like, yeah, you can just go home. And then I'd call her and be like, I ain't getting home till 1 o'clock this morning or midnight because I got to fix this problem. And then having kids changed that a lot to be like, I do need to set boundaries, and we do need to have consequences, not just for my children, but for the people that work for us, anybody who I'm responsible for. So it's been a growing, it's not always been a strong suit, so I appreciate you seeing that.
Definitely. You know, that's a tough thing for me at times. So when I grew up, discipline and consequence was the belt. So like, for instance, I would pee in the bed a lot of times, right? And you know, going back to that washer thing, so my mom would have to, you know, take those sheets and wash those sheets, right? You know, along with that came a butt whooping, right? You know, I got whooped every time I, you know, wet the bed, but like, you know, something I couldn't help. But there's other things that, you know, I could help. And, you know, my mom did a great job with kind of showing me the way and really teaching me, you know what I mean? So it was a balance. You know, as it pertains to my kids, you know, I'm hard on my kids. And I know I am. Especially my oldest son. I'm very difficult on him. Is because, like, he is a lot like me. He has a heart of gold. He's he has this, like, I'm gonna be okay type of mentality, and like, you know, I'm cute, so I'll just get through life off of my cuteness. And you know, I try to explain to him, like, dude, you gotta work hard. You gotta make sure that, you know, you putting your effort in too. You know, this is just not going to come by osmosis. You know, just because you look good or, you know, you got a certain swag about you, it's not going to work that way. Yeah. You know, and so I try to instill in him the principles of making sure that he's doing what he's supposed to do. Like, for instance, clean your room, get in the shower, you know, like, you know, do those basics. One of the reasons why he has not maintained or obtained a driver's license is because he can't maintain a job. And so, like, we have certain boundaries in place that, hey, if you want a job or you want a car, you got to have a job. Because that car is just not going to run off of my stuff. You know, you gotta bring something to the table. And so I'm trying to teach them, like, the importance of doing their part, you know. And my wife does the same thing with both of our boys. She's harder on them than I am, definitely. But there are moments where we flip and I'm harder on them than she is. So we balance each other out. I think that's very good in a relationship. Because sometimes I do go ham on them. But especially this morning, because, you know, I'll tell you guys. Basically, my son tells me at the last minute that he needs a physical for basketball on our way to dropping him off to the bus stop. And he goes to school in Erie, which is 45 minutes away. Yeah. And it's like, dude, this is the stuff that I'm talking about as far as responsibility. Yeah. You cannot tell me the morning of that you need a physical. You got to be at school at 8 o'clock. Yeah. So I had to take him to get his physical in order for him to play basketball. But, you know, these are things that you have to be patient with kids on, right? Like, I've probably done this, you know, multiple times to my parents, and I'm reaping what I've sown. But, you know, it's something. It's something being a parent. And discipline. I hate discipline, you know, because I feel like I'm, like, you know, being punished as well by punishing them. But it is what it is. I mean, that's how they learn.
One thing I was going to say you do really well that I've picked up on lately is, like, so say we're at a restaurant and the kids are, like, standing up on a booth or not following protocol, you know, rules for eating like normal humans. And they've done it once or twice and we're like, sit down. You know, you're supposed to see the rules when we're eating out are supposed to be sitting down. Like, we're having family time. We want to talk. We want to do this kind of stuff. I can't do that when you're up looking at the booth behind us, you know? And one thing that you've always done is once you reminded them or corrected them a couple times, said, like, should we go get the waiter and ask him if it's okay? Or let's go get the manager and ask them if it's okay if you stand on the booth. And that's, like, really good because it puts it, it's not like me just telling them over and over again because it's the rule. It reminds them they also already know the rule. They're just choosing the disobedience. Yeah. But it puts some accountability on them, like, oh, they're going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be embarrassed if this other third party comes in here, you know?
It's like a respect thing for me too. Like, I want them to have awareness of, like, you're also not even, like, you're not in our space, which there's respect there needed as well. But, like, you're in somebody else's space right now. So let's double check with them. Is this all right with them that you're standing up on their chairs? You can ask. You want to go ask? And they're like, no. And I'm like, why are you so, like, upset about it? Yeah, you're just doing it.
You weren't upset about it 30 seconds later.
Right, right, just a moment ago. Oh, because you don't think it's appropriate. Oh, and so then we can lean into it on, like, their, like, not on their terms is not the words I'm going to say, but it's like, it's now, like, I guess the ball is in their court of, like, oh, you don't think it's appropriate? Oh, okay. Like, I think I have found that to be helpful, but.
It's like making somebody, it's this similar when you have employees and stuff, it's like making it their idea. You know, how do you have buy-in and how do you make them feel like, oh yeah, like, I'm doing this because I want to be doing this or because it was my idea to do it, you know?
It's good stuff.
So how do you get buy-in on that is anyway.
You know, one thing I realized, because I guess, you know, we're kind of around the same age, realizing that, like, when we came up, parents was like, just do what I say, do, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I said it.
Because I said so, yes. And now, you know, like, kids are so smart. Like, the terminologies and things that they use, we weren't using that type of terminology mm-hmm. when we were coming up. Like, 2-year-olds, I said, actually? I'm like, what? Where is this from? So, you know, it's like, I think, you know, from what I'm learning, and even as it goes into the teenage years, kids have to be treated as if they're, like, almost like, you know, adults. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, it's that respect piece that you give kids.
Yes.
That's so important. And they like that they're being treated as a human being.
Yes.
And not necessarily yes. just a object, right? So yeah. It's just, you know, understanding that and the importance of, you know, lifting kids up and
yeah.
allowing yeah. them to be their individual selves, which yeah. sometimes can be a little bit challenging. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that's huge. Yeah. I think that's something you do really well, too. It's not just putting the fear of God in them or, you know, just telling them, like, because I said so. You do a really good job of explaining that and understanding why. Because as a, yeah. I think it's a lot with your teacher in you, too, but, like,
that's what I was going to say. That phrase is so interesting to me because, like, it's true to a degree. And, like, the intention behind it is really good because it's, like, I am the adult that is in charge right. of your safety and yeah. your upbringing. Or if it's in the educational setting, too, which is where I was going to go next. I'm glad you said that. Like, I am the teacher here. Like, this is, like, I am the adult. You should just do things yeah. because I'm saying so. But, yeah. like, if we, again, go a little deeper, like, well, why... Well, it's because I am teaching you things that will be wise for you to be able to stay safe and to learn and to grow. Mm. And so, like, going at that deeper step and then kind of operating from there is really helpful rather than just, like, hanging out in the, like, first step of, like, well, just because I said so. Mm-hmm. Because the hard part of that is it doesn't work well all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yes, but, like... I saw that very quickly in the classroom where if I was just like, well, because you just do it because I said, it's just almost never going to go. It just doesn't. And I'm like, well, if it's not working, what will work? And also, I want kids to listen to me, whether it was in the classroom or now my own children at home. Like, I want them to listen to me because I think what I'm teaching them is valuable mm-hmm. to them. And so I want mm-hmm. them to see the value mm-hmm. in it for them as individuals too. Because one day they will be teens and then adults. And
yeah.
I want them to still come to me or to value what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, they don't have to do anything I'm saying anymore. And that's the other thing too. It's like another whole conversation of even at the smallest child, a 3-year-old, for example, like, I can't actually control them or mm-hmm. make them do anything. Like, they'll still, I mean, to a certain degree, because I'm just larger than them and older and things, but, like, every person is their own person. Right. And, like, we can't, as much as we want to say, I think I have an example one time, somebody was sharing how they said to their son, like, you can't talk to me like that. And it's like, well, technically he can. Technically he can. Should they be? Too. And they have. Should they be? No. Like, is it respectful? No. Does something different need to happen? Of course, absolutely. But it's like going at it from the approach of, like, you just can't. Like, that's really a tricky mm-hmm. spot to land because mm-hmm. there's really actually only yeah. so much you can do sometimes in that regard. But there's a ton you can do with regards to being that adult they're connected to and being that adult they trust and respect. Yes.
And you know, one thing too, I'll say that parents really have to deal with the trauma that they came to the table with as mm-hmm. being a parent. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what gets passed down is, like, if you don't deal with your trauma as a parent, you're going to create some trauma in that child. If you're not careful. So you have to do the work as a parent to really make sure that, you know, you're not, you know, passing down what your mom told you or what mm-hmm. your dad did to you. Because some of that stuff that they taught us was just horrible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But also, some of the stuff that they taught us was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, eat the meat, spew out the bones.
Yeah.
But, you know, make sure that you're not just, you know, perpetuating your childhood trauma on your kids as you discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of our parents just went way too far, you know, on discipline, you know, so.
That's good. It's like the, again, bringing it back to the connection piece, it's like connect with yourself sometimes too. Mm-hmm. Connect with your past, your trauma, maybe connect with your upbringing. Because that's what it is to the messaging that we want to stand beside here with our organization is to help families connect.
Yeah.
Period. And it's not like we're adhering to one specific way of doing that. And I think that is a lot of what caregivers, parents, adults, people who work with kids, they're looking for how to do that, because there's so much information out there today of like all the popular terms too, of like gentle parenting, or like this is like authoritative parenting, and like all the like terms and things, and then there's this expert saying this thing and this expert saying that and this family does it one way. I think that like there's helpful and different ways across the board, and there's some probably not helpful or great ways across the board. And I think that just being able to have a community to kind of like figure that out with, problem solve it, and do that hard work of connecting with the kids, connecting with yourself, connecting with the people you're in community with raising that child, whether it's a partner or in your, if you're, you know, working with kids, other kids, other adults that are with that kid. It's like, it's a lot of hard work, but it's good work, and it's beautiful and fun work a lot of times, and that's what we are here for, wanting to facilitate that.
And I think that's the wonderful thing about Wonder, is that like, wow, I mean, you tap into some of those things that parents may not have even known that they were dealing with, you know, and you know, the whole play aspect brings that out. And you're able, Nicole, to really tap into, you know, the expertise that you have had for years on how to address some of the needs, particularly of this community. Because what I'm finding about Crawford County and Meadville is that there's not a lot of mentors that we have within our community that's really willing to sit down and say, hey, you know, I saw how you had that interaction. Maybe you want to do it this way, you know, and that takes some guts to do that, you know what I mean? But I think people have to be willing to learn and to be open to another way of parenting. And I love that's what you're bringing to this community, because we need it desperately. There's so much trauma, so much drug addiction, so much mental health addiction. Or mental health, you know, I'll say mental health, I'm sorry, not mental health addiction, but mental health situations that's happening, substance abuse, that we really need people that care and are open and not judgmental on how people parent. Because, you know, we got, you know, other entities coming in and doing that already, and we don't want that, right? So the goal is to change that narrative and to do a with, not for, type of thing, right? So we come along and help and do with. So, yeah, I mean, I'm so grateful of the work that you have already done and what you're getting ready to do with this wonderful organization. So,
thank you. That was so well said. That was a good spot to wrap up, I think.
Yeah.
What do you
already?
Think? Yeah, it goes very fast, right?
I wanted to still talk.
I was going to say, though, that what Jackie was saying, too, and even in our own family, it's definitely ways that I'm thankful for that you've addressed, and my own parenting, and it's been helpful, like, from switching to a I'm the dad, and you're going to do this because I said so, and you're going to fear me and respect me, you know, to just like, well, we're going to earn this respect, and it's going to be a two-way street. We're going to each respect each other, and we're going to do things because we care about each other. Yeah. And if I say something, you know, I said it, maybe even with some authority, but because you care about me, you're going to care about what I'm asking you to do, opposed to you're just going to do it because I said you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've been instrumental in helping me change that mindset as well. So
it's beautiful.
Well, it's a team effort. There's a bunch of amazing individuals who have been working towards this and behind this from the start, including you, Jackie. And so you could see why we're so grateful that you're a part of this journey. I'm
grateful to be a part. Again, as we started, you guys are amazing people. Probably some of Crawford County's best kept secret. You know? I'm telling you, you guys, y'all getting ready to take the world by storm, and I'm really, y'all have already done it, but you know, I'm really excited about what's to come, and you know, I think this is going to be a game changer for our area. You know, it's a great thing that's getting ready to happen here, and I know y'all put a lot on the line to do this, so good. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Jackie. Thanks, Matt. Keep listening. I'm going to be giving a quick update on some changes happening with Wonder and our podcasts and all the things, so stay tuned. So here's the thing. For those of you who are big fans of Matt, you might not love this update, but he's actually going to be stepping away from co-hosting this podcast with me, and somebody new is going to be joining. And this doesn't mean that he will never be on an episode again, but if you're a little bit sad about that, I get it. He's awesome. I want to encourage you that there is someone else coming that is so incredible that I know you're going to love to hear their perspective. So you'll have to find out who that is in a couple of weeks. Next episode will be Matt's last, so we're going to be sending him off in true Wonder style. So definitely tune in to hear that one. I also wanted to take a quick moment to thank the Crawford Community Heritage Foundation for interviewing us in our space just this week. So if you don't follow them already online, please do. You'll have to check out what they did in a video form that gives some updates around some classes that we'll be doing starting in the new year. So mark your calendars if you have little ones that you think might enjoy learning sign language, or if you are a parent or caregiver that is just looking for some extra support, we have some stuff in the queue for you as well. Thanks again to our donors, all of the people who have been generously giving to our efforts. We cannot do what we do without you, and we are so, so looking forward to 2026 and all that is in store. Thanks, everyone. It's been a great year, and definitely check out our last episode of 2025 and send Matt off with me with lots of love and probably a few laughs.